Good morning, all, and a very warm welcome to worship here at Cultskirk. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jean Montgomery, a very long retired minister, and should still be doing this. Can I turn your attention to the intimations, which are printed on your order of service? But I am also asked to say that the 9:30 service is in need of pianists for the summer. And so if anyone can help out with that, it's Peter that you speak to. So anyone who can manage a tune for the 9:30 service, if you would like to speak to Peter, please. Excuse me. And now, before we go forward to worship, Lizzie's going to say a word or two about the recent border walk.
I'm delighted to say that all 24 pilgrims returned safely from the Borders Abbey walk, physically and spiritually revitalised after a wonderful week's fellowship. Just a few blisters to show for the 64.5-mile circular walk. This was our third pilgrimage, and it covered the beautiful countryside linking the ruins of Kelso, Jedburgh, Melrose and Dryburgh Abbeys, plus the towns of Hoyk and Selkirk. Several abbeys very kindly opened early to allow us access before our walks. It was actually very moving having the ruins to ourselves, and it was indeed a very atmospheric and spiritual experience at 8:30 in the morning. True to our previous pilgrimages, we had our 40 Towers moment, which we discovered in Jedburgh that our hotel, which had been undergoing major refurbishment since September last year, wasn't actually finished. Good humour won the day, and with the delights of the local ancient horse festival and a lovely meal at the Cape and Tree restaurant, we survived. Our daily worship was led by Ewan, this time as our retired minister, supported by fellow pilgrims who read selected biblical passages interwoven around the prayers of the Northumberland community. Ewan, at random, always chose just the right place for us to stop, to gather our thoughts, such as the bank of a fast-flowing river, a summit with wonderful 90-degree views, and a derelict barn to shelter under. Yes, true to our Scottish summer, we did have rain. His thoughtful words were always so pertinent to the surroundings and the challenges and joys of each particular day. At the end of the final day's walk, we celebrated a very special communion together, surrounded by the most beautiful countryside on the site where William Wallace was proclaimed Guardian of Scotland in 1298. We broke locally produced bread and drank from a Lindus Farm goblet. Lindus Farm was the destination of our very first pilgrimage 5 years ago. Many happy memories to treasure, and Lynn and I are already planning our reunion next year and considering the possibility of another pilgrimage in 2 years' time.
Thank you. We draw near to God to celebrate, to commune. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near, and nothing can shake me. And so I am thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure, because you protect me from the power of death. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. Our opening hymn is one where the tune is not particularly well known, but please today concentrate on the words. Hymn number 111, "Today I awake and God is before me."
Thank you.
discovered some new friends last week when I came here. Would you like to come out and play with me? Are there any more new friends? Yes? Oh, good. Yes? Coming to see me? No? Okay. Right. We'll just have to come over here so that she doesn't have to peek round the... Over you come. Right. You ever seen one of these?
No.
No? You ever seen one of these? Has anybody here ever seen one of these? No. Well, this is called a mezuzah. Right? Can you say mezuzah?
Mezuzah.
Mezuzah, yes, very good. It's called a mezuzah. Mm-hmm. And inside, it's got a little scroll with tiny writing on it. Look at that. You see that?
Yeah.
Look. What kind of language do you think that might be?
Don't know.
You don't know? Well, it's actually written in Hebrew, which was an old, old language that people in the Middle East used. And they wrote lots of things in it. They wrote, you know, the Bible that's got two bits in it? It's got the Old Testament and the New Testament? Yeah? Well, the Old Testament was written in
Hebrew,
yeah, it was. The New Testament was written in Greek originally, but the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. Now, on this little scroll, which has to go carefully back into my mezuzah, because I'm always terrified that I lose it, right? On that little scroll, it says, the first word it says is Shema. Shema. And that word means hear or listen. Right? And it says Shema Israel. You've heard of Israel? It's a country, isn't it? Shema Israel. And it says hear, O Israel. And then the rest of it says the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's what's in that little scroll when it's translated into English. Right? Now, one of these, which is called a mezuzah, one of these goes on the doorpost of your house, right? And every Jew has one of these on the doorpost of their house. Now, I'm not a Jew because I'm a Christian, but it's part of the tradition of Christianity that we took lots of useful things that we know about God from the Jewish faith. And so I have one of these on my doorpost. And if you ever go to a door and one of those is on the doorpost, you know that the person inside is a Jew. Right? That's their faith. For me, it's on the inside door, but I like to have my mezuzah. And it's there, and what does the scroll says? It says, Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that goes on the doorpost, and as person who uses this goes in and out of their house. They touch the mezuzah. And they say, the Lord shall guard my going out and my coming in from this time forth, now and forever. And we're going to think a bit more about that later. So what's that called? A mezuzah. And what's the first word in the little scroll? Is Shema.
Shema.
Shema. So there's two Hebrew words you've learned today. Okay. Interesting story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Off you go. Thank you very much for helping. And so now we're going to sing the hymn number 530, only three verses, verses 1, 3, and 4 of One More Step Along the World. Let us pray. Creator God, we glimpse your beauty in setting sun, on mountaintop, on eagle's wing. We sense your power in thunder crash, lightning flash, and ocean's roar. Creator God, we praise you. Precious Jesus, we see your love stretched out upon a cruel cross. We stand in awe at your sacrifice. Pure love poured out for humankind. Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we see your power in lives transformed, hearts on fire. We listen for your still, small voice, comforting, guiding, and calling. Holy Spirit, we praise you. From the moment we awake to face the day ahead, you are with us, through good times and bad, your presence enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you. Through the hours of the day, in our travels and work, you are with us. In decisions we must make, your wisdom enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you. As we lay down to rest at the end of the day, you are with us. As we lay our fears at your feet, your peace enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you. Lord God, your love for humankind, present in the beginning of all things, extends throughout history and touches even our lives. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and still loves the sinner. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us the many times we take for granted all that you have done for us. Transform us through your Spirit and empower us to serve you this day and all days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name and words we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. And David Henderson is going to read for us this morning.
The Old Testament lesson is taken from Psalm 121. I look to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help will come from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you fall. Your protector is always awake. The protector of Israel never dozes or sleeps. The Lord will guide you. He is by your side to protect you. The sun will not hurt you during the day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all danger. He will keep you safe. He will protect you as you come and go, now and forever. And then in the New Testament, from the letter of Paul to the Romans, at chapter 8 and at verse 18, Paul writes, I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared at all with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. And verse 28, we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him, those who he has called according to his purpose. And finally, reading from verse 31, in view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather who was raised to life and is at the right-hand side of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And thanks be to God for these words from his holy word.
Thank you, David. We sing the hymn number 167, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Father, and of the Son, and of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever had a day, or for that matter, weeks, and into months, and even years, when nothing seems to go right? When life seems to have ganged up against you? Yeah, me too. And this message today is for all of us. To travel in the ancient world was a dangerous undertaking. All these years ago, you couldn't fly into Tel Aviv airport and hire a car and reach Jerusalem in a few hours' time. The roads, if you could call them roads, were tortuous. And there was the ever-present danger of attack by wild beasts and bands of robbers. Yet every Jewish male was expected to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem at least once in his lifetime. To to take his courage in both hands, leave the safety of home, and strike out through all the known dangers towards the holy city. And as the pilgrim left home, he would touch the mezuzah, which contained these verses known as Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And as he touched the mezuzah containing these words, he would repeat the last verse of Psalm 121. The Lord shall guard my going out and my coming in from this time forth and forevermore. There was and is built into every Jew's daily routine a reminder of the companionship of God through every circumstance of life. Yet the immediate impact of Psalm 121 on the 20th century pilgrim is the reference to hills, from which we have derived a popular belief in the sanctity of communion with nature. In the original English translation of the psalm, that which we now refer to as the King James Version, the opening lines read thus: I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And of course, if we're not careful, these words can be construed to mean that help comes from looking at the hills. Moreover, from such an interpretation has come the argument that fondness for the outdoors is a perfectly reasonable substitute for worship. And such an idea is, of course, immortalized in the words of Dorothy Frances Gurney: the kiss of the sun for pardon, the song of the birds for mirth. One is nearer God's heart in a garden than anywhere else on earth. But these words of the pilgrim, opening words of the pilgrim psalm, need to be considered carefully. The help will not come from our communion with nature, from our looking to the hills, but from the one who made heaven and earth. Modern translations of the psalm seek to ensure that this is made clear by making the second clause of the first line a question. I look to the mountains. Where will my help come from? This followed by the clear affirmation, my help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In a world which lays great store on scientific study, on the achievements of modern medicine and psychiatry, we need again and again to be reminded of the source of our help, the Lord who made heaven and earth, and the human brain and human understanding. Thus, the psalm asserts, if he is capable of all that, it is reasonable to assume that we may trust him to guard our journeying. Now, it may seem natural to move from that sentiment to the conclusion that nothing evil or harmful will ever befall those who trust in God. And to our shame, we need to recognise that there are those who peddle Christianity on just such a basis. Peace, prosperity, and a complete absence of calamity in life. On the face of it, the Pilgrim's Psalm might be used to support such an argument. On the other hand, faced with the realities of life, where the innocent suffer, where things do not always go smoothly, where tragedies happen, this psalm is a call to faith in the promises of God. Not that he will shield us from disappointment or distress, but that he will furnish us with the strength to endure. An agnostic once asked, "What did Providence do for the martyr Stephen when he was being stoned to death?" To which came the reply, "He enabled Stephen to say, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.'" Friends, it has been the experience of Christians throughout the centuries that to have faith is not to divorce oneself from the realities of life, but to know that in the evil times, there is one who is able to keep us from falling. One who is able to give us the will to forgive. One who is able to give us the comfort of his enfolding love when our lives seem to be crumbling about us. One who is able to give us the strength to resist temptation, able to give us the courage to keep going. And the Pilgrim Psalm makes it quite clear that the one who is able to do such great things is none other than the Lord who made heaven and earth. Such faith cannot be manufactured, nor can it be borrowed. It comes as a personal reaction to these mighty acts of God. So, as we move forward on our pilgrimage, as we reflect on the realities of life, as we remember those who are going through the bereavements, the sufferings, and the disappointments of life, will we keep our trust in the Lord who made heaven and earth to guard our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore? And at these times, the poem Footprints in the Sand is one to have to hand. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand and noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints, He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said once that once I had decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." May all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to his Holy Spirit. Amen. Our next hymn, which is the hymn 191, is a very special hymn for me. As I first heard it when I was going through a very, very difficult time in my ministry, and it just spoke all sorts of messages to me. And so, on the theme from which we have just emerged in considering Psalm 121, we turn to "Do Not Be Afraid," which is a paraphrase of Isaiah 43. "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Hymn 191.
Thank you.
worship God now with our offering. And now let us pray. Empowering God, we bring these gifts in gratitude for all your goodness to us, and in token of our willingness to trust our lives to your leading. You have shown yourself faithful in times past, sustaining us in body, mind, and spirit, heightening our joys and comforting our sorrows. And we thank you now for your renewed word of promise that you will be with us no matter what life may bring. Thank you for all those in our circle of family and friends who are living witness to your presence, to your generosity, and to your compassion. Thank you for every event, painful or pleasant, that opens our eyes, lifts our hearts, and points us beyond itself to some deep truth of nature or humanity, or gives us a glimpse of your passing presence and calls us to follow, to brave new adventures. Lord, we pray for those who struggle to believe your promises to be true as they face ill health, bereavement, redundancy, debt, broken relationships, hunger, homelessness, injustice, and violence. And we are reminded that you have called us to be your incarnate presence in the world, so that our prayers may turn into actions of generosity and compassion. Hear us for those in positions of responsibility in government and commerce, that they may seek your will and discharge their duties for the good of all in our society. Hear us for those in positions of responsibility who feel unappreciated and sense that their best will never be good enough. Hear us for those trapped in a sense of worthlessness and for those who cannot see a way out of their predicament. May your promise to guard and to guide reach through the gloom and show the light of your loving care. These prayers we offer in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our closing phrase is the hymn number 737. 'Tis, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Yes, it is 737, it's not 412. Lord guard your going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thank you.